Where Good Ideas Come From, The Seven Patterns of Innovation, author Stephen Johnson. Some environments seem to breed ideas effortlessly. Our thought shapes the spaces we inhabit, and our spaces return the favor. We argue that a series of shared properties and patterns recur again and again in unusually fertile environments. We have distilled them down into seven patterns. The more we embrace these patterns, the better we'll be tapping our extraordinary capacity for innovative thinking. Pattern 1, the adjacent possible. What the adjacent possible tells us is that at any moment the world is capable of extraordinary change, but only certain changes can happen. The strange and beautiful truth about the adjacent possible is that its boundaries grow as you explore those boundaries. Each new combination ushers new combinations into the adjacent possible. Think of it as a house that magically expands with each door you open. You begin in a room with four doors, each leading to a new room that you haven't visited yet. Those four rooms are the adjacent possible. The web adjacent possible. The web has explored the adjacent possible of its medium far faster than any other communications technology in history. In early 1994, the web was a text-only medium. Within a few years, it became a medium that lets you do financial transactions. Shortly afterward, it became a true two-way medium, where it was as easy to publish your own writing as it was to read other people's. And now, digital maps are unleashing their own cartographic revolutions. Pattern 2. Liquid networks. A good idea is a network. A new idea is a network of cells exploring the adjacent possible of connections that they can make in your mind. If we're going to try to explain the mystery of where ideas come from, we'll have to start by shaking ourselves free from the common misconception that an idea is a single thing. An idea is more like a swarm. 3 networks. The computer scientist Christopher Langton observed several decades ago that innovative systems have a tendency to gravitate toward the edge of chaos, the fertile zone between too much order and too much anarchy. Langton sometimes uses the metaphor of different phases of matter, gas, liquid, solid to describe these network states. A liquid network creates a more promising environment for the system to explore the adjacent possible. The 100 billion neurons in your brain form another kind of liquid network, densely interconnected, constantly exploring new patterns, but also capable of preserving useful structures for long periods of time. Pattern 3, the slow hunch. Most great ideas first take shape in a partial, incomplete form. They have the seeds of something profound, but they lack a key element that can turn the hunch into something truly powerful. Liquid networks create an environment where those partial ideas can connect. They make it easier to disseminate good ideas, but they also do something more sublime. They help complete ideas. Hunches that don't connect are doomed to stay hunches. The snap judgments of intuition are rarities in the history of world-changing ideas. Sustaining the slow hunch is less a matter of perspiration than of cultivation. You give the hunch enough nourishment to keep it growing and plant it in fertile soil, where its roots can make new connections, and then you give it time to bloom. Pattern 4. Serendipity. The English language is blessed with a wonderful word that captures the power of accidental connection, serendipity. But serendipity is not just about embracing random encounters for the sheer exhilaration of it. It completes a hunch, or opens up a door in the adjacent possible that you had overlooked. Serendipitous discoveries often involve exchanges across traditional disciplines. The mind's primordial soup. A recent experiment led by the German neuroscientist Ulrich Wagner demonstrates the potential for dream states to trigger new conceptual insights. In Wagner's experiment, test subjects were assigned a tedious mathematical task that involved the repetitive transformation of 8 digits into a different number. With practice, the test subjects grew steadily more efficient at completing the task, but Wagner's puzzle had a hidden pattern to it, a rule that governed the numerical transformations. Wagner found that after an initial exposure to the numerical test, sleeping on the problem more than doubled the test subjects' ability to discover the hidden rule. The mental recombinations of sleep helped them explore the full range of solutions to the puzzle, detecting patterns that they had failed to perceive in their initial training period. In a sense, dreams are the medium that facilitates the serendipitous collisions of creative insight. Phase locking and noise. The waking brain has an appetite for the generative chaos that rules the dream state. Neurons share information by passing chemicals across the synaptic gap that connects them, but they also communicate via a more indirect channel. They synchronize their firing rates. Science does not yet have a solid explanation for the brain's chaos states, but researchers believe that the electric noise of the chaos mode allows the brain to experiment with new links between neurons that would otherwise fail to connect in more orderly settings. The phase lock mode is where the brain executes an established plan or habit. Pattern 5. Error. The British economist William Stanley Jevons, who had first-hand experience as an inventor himself, described the prominence of error in his Principles of Science, first published in 1874. It would be an error to suppose that the great discoverer seizes at once upon the truth, or has any unerring method of divining it. In all probability, the errors of the great mind exceed in number those of the less vigorous one. Error often creates a path that leads you out of your comfortable assumptions. Being right keeps you in place. Being wrong forces you to explore. Pattern 6. Exaptation. Exaptation. An organism develops a trait optimized for a specific use, but then the trait gets hijacked for a completely different function. The initial transformation is almost accidental. Exaptation helps us explore the new possibilities that lurk behind those doors. A match you light to illuminate a darkened room turns out to have a completely different use for when you open a doorway and discover a room with a pile of logs and a fireplace in it. A tool that helps you see in one context ends up helping you keep warm in another. That's the essence of exaptation. Lifestyles or interests that deviate from the mainstream need critical mass to survive. They atrophy in smaller communities, not because those communities are more repressive, but rather because the odds of finding like-minded people are much lower with a small pool of individuals. Pattern 7. Platforms. For 40 years, ecologists have used the term keystone species to designate an organism that has a disproportionate impact on its ecosystem, a carnivore, for instance, who is the only predator of another species that would otherwise overwhelm the habitat with unchecked population growth. Remove the keystone predator, and the habitat falls apart. Platform building is, by definition, a kind of exercise in emergent behavior. The platform builders and ecosystem engineers do not just open a door in the adjacent possible, they build an entire new floor. The fourth quadrant. Let's plot the most important innovations and scientific breakthroughs somewhere in one of our four quadrants. Classify innovations that involved a small, coordinated team with an organization individual. Classify as networked all of the innovations that evolved through collective distributed processes with a large number of groups working on the same problem. Inventors who plan to capitalize directly from the sale or licensing of their invention should be classified as market. Those who wish their ideas to flow freely into the infosphere belong to the non-market side. The result will be four quadrants. Let's not forget. As Poincaré said, ideas rise in crowds. They rise in liquid networks where connection is valued more than protection. So if we want to build environments that generate good ideas, we need to keep that history in mind and not fall back on the easy assumption that competitive markets are the only reliable source of good ideas.